For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hi guys, you're so welcome back to another podcast here on NARCON. Today we're going to share a story that's been sent to us by one of our community very kindly, in the hope that the whole explanation of what the person went through and the recovery journey might give some hope in relation to what the person survived and how they approached the healing journey and the conclusions from that. Because sometimes it seems overwhelming and people don't think that they can possibly recover from an experience, particularly with an intimate relationship with a narcissist. So we're going to go through the story and obviously keep the person's identity anonymous for safety reasons. And we will give a little bit of analysis going through the whole experience in relation to what actually, you know, was going on and the stages of healing. So I hope this is of benefit, and thank you so very much to the person who sent this in and took the time to write everything down for others, for the sake of others, so that you don't feel alone on your journey after being with a narcissist in recovery. So I'm going to read it out and I'm going to give a bit of analysis along the way. And just before we begin, can I say to you, thank you so much for anyone that has supported the channel, either via sharing, by donations, by buying the book Weaponized Love, which is available on Amazon, just by being here, by being part of the community, by answering comments of others, by leaving comments, by liking, subscribing. All those things that you do to keep me doing what I'm doing here and certainly give me a purpose and hopefully help people who are new to this information and are working their way to surviving in the aftermath of a relationship with one of these creatures. So let's get into the material of the podcast. Hi Paula, I wanted to write to you for some time to thank you for the amazing book you've recently written. Thank you. It has helped me so much to sort out so many things in my life. Your videos are amazing too. That is really kind. You speak with such clarity and sensitivity and spirituality. I too believe that narcs are wicked people and they have so many people fooled, including their family and friends. Narcissists will have a lot of people fooled for some of the time and some people fooled for a lot of the time. They have to, because otherwise there's nobody behind the mask. So the mask has to be believable in order for the narcissist to live as they decide to live, by usurping and deceiving other people. I thought I'd share my story in the case that it might help others. I have been married twice to two narcissists. My first marriage produced two beautiful daughters, and I was married to the first narcissist for 23 years. And people often ask, you know, after having the typical relationship with a narcissist is actually 18 months to a year, 18 months to 2 years. Sometimes they stay in long-term relationships and they get their main source of supply from keeping that person under control for a very long time, and getting their supply from other sources and using the stability of the home piped supply to enable them to continue wearing the mask in the outer world. The second marriage to Narcissist 2 was for 10 years and ended a year ago. So I'm guessing that this person was very good person who tried their very best and kept putting out for the narcissist, probably quite selfless and probably groomed and indoctrinated in this way of being, in the giving, you know, the giving to another person without receiving very much in return, probably due to childhood experiences with narcissists. After the second marriage, I was in a terrible spot and had to get to the bottom of things to understand why this had happened a second time. I knew nothing about narcissism until 11 months ago, but your videos and recent book have been a godsend. I feel I'm making good progress. This has been the most difficult trial of my life. I'm so glad you and your community understand what this is like. My family and friends cannot grasp what I know and have been through. It's so important to be heard, to be seen and to be understood, to not be judged. You know, for people, other people in this community, they really get it. Sometimes I swear I think you have to be through a relationship with a narcissist to really get it, to get the succinctness of the torture that you're put through from all angles. It's very, very difficult to explain it to other people. And sometimes in explaining it or trying to explain it, people look at you and kind of think, gosh, maybe you're the problem, you know, you're too intense or whatever. So this is very important, having this community to validate the experience. So for what it's worth, here is my story, and I apologize for the length, but I don't know any other way to convey my thoughts. You are very eloquent in your writing, my friend. After about 11 months of counseling, lots of prayer, scriptures, and pondering, I have finally been able to make sense of this awful situation. Narcissist 2 provided me with no clarity, but instead abruptly ended things and moved out. Well, there is a surprise that a narcissist would just up and dump you. She aligns with many of the characteristics of narcissism. She lacks empathy for me, her children, or basically anyone she interacts with. She demands perfection of everyone, never takes blame for anything, and acts like she is superior to everyone. Yes, they're classic symptoms of narcissism. Lacking empathy, lack of accountability, blame shifting, and a sense of omnipotence or superiority. They're the classics of a malignant narcissist. Call it narcissism, call it toxic behaviour, it doesn't matter. It's what I experienced. Thank goodness I found a counsellor that is trained to recognise narcissistic abuse. Please, everyone, anyone going to counselling, be very, very careful to ask the question first off if the counsellor is trained and understands narcissistic abuse. Because you can be damaged by somebody who does not understand this and turns the blame in equal measure 50-50 as in any normal relationship, you know, circumstance. This is not a normal relationship. Sorry, I've just lost the place. Okay, call it. Okay. I found a counsellor that is trained to recognise narcissistic abuse. Obviously, I'm not a doctor to diagnose these matters, but I have had so many light bulb and spiritual moments that I am convinced that this is what has happened. I was clueless about narcissism until last year. And you know, guys, when I think back on not knowing what a narcissist was and the excruciating pain and agony and mess up of your brain trying to figure out, you know, who's to blame, what's happened, where you, of course, people take the blame on themselves, you know, and decide that they're useless and that they need to improve, and they actually buy into the narcissist's illusion of being to blame for everything. So it is life-saving to get this information about the narcissistic personality disorder.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
The narcissist's toxic traits are sophisticated and covert. In other words, she has a narcissistic personality style that is very difficult to spot, but now has become incredibly clear to me. For most people, including me, it was imperceptible for many years until now. I give her huge props for being an incredible actress. She has misled many people, even her family. The person who I thought loved me has betrayed me. I naively thought that because we were married in our church, that we were both on the same page and had eternal goals. Not so. Narcissists will present as being the best of people, and they can carry this out for quite some time. And they can get married in churches, they can be in churches, they can lead churches. Very few people may get to see behind the mask. People that are aware of narcissism will steer clear. But people that are not aware can be fooled by this person even doing good deeds for them. The reason the narcissist does good deeds for some people some of the time is because those people, they'll be sure that those people will spread the news of what the narcissist has done for them, thereby conveying a general sense to the general community they exist in that they're a good person. It's called PR in commercial terms. After 10 years, she got what she needed from me, which was a house paid off, considerable financial investments, and an honourable stepfather to help her raise her kids, get them through high school and college, and get most of them married. I believe the walking apology, pool boy, fix-it boy, grill boy, lawn boy, errand boy, sign boy, investor boy, web boy, and on and on. You're describing what you became or how useful you were to this person who kept you on in employment in the relationship, basically. She employed you by being married to you. She knew she had me because I loved her and trusted her and wanted to help in any way I could. It was very exhausting for me, but again, I believed in the relationship. Exhausting is another part of it. She knew exactly what she was doing when she married me. Yes, and for anyone that thinks that narcissists do not pre-plan, as is put out there by a lot of people, they do know what they're doing. They don't just marry anyone. They marry someone who is going to be beneficial to them. Narcissistic people only value what someone can do for them. And when that's up, or they get bored, the discard comes. She was never emotionally invested from the start, and now I know why. It's easy to dump someone when there's no emotional attachment. What a tragedy that she could simply use me for 10 years and then toss me out like yesterday's trash. She lied to me and she destroyed trust completely. She has shown me complete disrespect. I wasn't even worthy of that. No. Nothing that you do for a narcissist is going to be, you know, kept in your favor. They have no object constancy. So nothing you do in the past has any value because they do not attach to people. They only judge you on what you do now or what you can provide for them now. And if the narcissist no longer has or requires your services, even though you're still putting out for them, or if you have the audacity to start to change and ask for your needs met and are less controllable, they are off to see if they can get what they feel they deserve in someone who's going to, you know, start it all over again for them and be fooled by them and start putting out for them again. She started planning the official dump about 18 months ago when she asked me if we could upgrade the backyard patio, detach decking and chairs, etc. It was all in anticipation of selling the house. I felt something was off about that request. You know in your gut, you know in your gut there's something wrong. And that's what I call the jungle instinct, when you are aware that you're not safe. I knew something wasn't quite right, but I was hoping for the best, but had a nagging feeling inside. Every upgrade she did to the house over the past 8 years was in anticipation of selling. As part of her exit prep, she ramped up being critical of me over the past year. I bought the wrong soda, I didn't park the car right, I didn't do this or that right. Just silly stuff, but she was building her case against me. I could feel the hostility mounting. This was disgraceful and deliberate behaviour, but I didn't know what was happening. She didn't know exactly when the discard would occur, but it would play out in time. Let's say Johnny is the person, it's not the name. Let's let Johnny experience an Alaska fishing trip first and celebrate his big birthday with his kids, and then kick him to the curb when he slips up. In the meantime, she'll ramp up the harshness towards him, so she'll have stronger evidence, in inverted commas, when the dump occurs. She also became very slow to respond to texts or phone calls over the past year and a half. It was all very subtle, but part of the plan to distance herself from him. This person is describing what it felt like. I can see a show going on there in the background. And for anyone who's listening to this on podcast, we've just come back from a walk, actually, and this boy actually rolled in. Fox poo. Did you have that happen ever with your dogs? I'm sorry for the little aside here. Let's call it an interval. But he's had his bath and I think he's drying himself off now by rubbing himself on the back of the sofa. And for anyone that doesn't know, sorry, it's not my partner or anyone. Well, he is my partner, but he's a furry one. It's Remy and he's a dog. At least that's what he looks like. But he's more like a human producer on YouTube here. OK, let's get back to the story. It's a great analysis by you. The person that's written this in, and I'm guessing it's with the help of excellent counselling that you've gone over the relationship and reached these conclusions. Okay. Right. Then she waited for the perfect opportunity to discard him. Johnny slipped up in late September 2023 when he said he was feeling lonely and ignored in the relationship. And then it was time for action. Oh, yes, that would be breaking a boundary with the narcissist. And particularly if the narcissist is vamping up for the discard, give any excuse. And they may even trigger you to give, into a fight so that they can blame you for the ending of the relationship. A carefully crafted story of how she was emotionally worn out and couldn't do it anymore, and that she would have left after 1 year or 5 years, was her narrative to relinquish any responsibility on her part. Now, this is very interesting because the narcissist here is projecting onto the person who is actually emotionally worn out by all the demands of the narcissist. So the narcissist then is finding it harder to control their source of supply and feels, you know, disgruntled and is projecting onto their source of supply that she's emotionally worn out, which is the total opposite of the case. And it's interesting that she said that she should have left the relationship 1 or 5 years. You know, at 1 year, she thought of leaving the relationship. And at 5 years, she thought of leaving the relationship. She is also projecting in this circumstance that if the person who we'll call Johnny here, you know, should have left the relationship at 1 year and should have left the relationship at 5 years, there was obviously something went on at those stages where the relationship should have dissolved. He shouldn't have put up with whatever went on. And she was, you know, on a point of thinking, should she leave because she wasn't getting what she thought she'd get out of it? There's something in that that she would bring up, the 1 year and the 5 year. And I would suggest looking back with your counsellor and to see what happened then. And then you get the answer to what she means by that. At first, I believed it because I'm an empath. And I cared and believed what my spouse told me. All she wanted to do, though, was convince me of her false narrative and get me to take the blame. This is gaslighting. Well done. When I didn't understand why this was happening, she thought yelling and screaming at me would help, but it didn't. She told me she couldn't stand the sight of me and that she couldn't live under the same roof with me anymore. She tried to get me to move out and to go back to where I came from. I won't mention the state or the place. She had to be so devastating and cruel in the discard to make it more convincing for herself and others. You're saying that there was actually no reason for the marriage to break down, but she needed there to be a reason. She showed me a side of her that is abhorrent. To say I was blindsided is an understatement. So not only did she dump me for no valid reason, but she also wanted me to take the blame. This is sick beyond my comprehension. I have learned that when the discard occurs, all people with narcissistic traits move swiftly and definitely. That is, it's unbelievable. They stop the act. They stop. They totally take off the mask they've been showing to you. Well, some of them delay the taking off of the mask because they want to prolong the agony for you of the illusion of the discard so that you think that you've really lost somebody precious when you've only lost a mask. But when they decide there is no grey area, they will move swiftly and definitely, just like you're saying here. They've been building up to this point. They've been harboring their plan to leave you for quite a long time. And they're relishing the moment that they can leave and they will have no regard for you whatsoever. This is their moment. They're leaving. That's that. And they enjoy it. Okay. Yeah. They move swiftly and definitely. They are black or white, no middle ground. Hence, filing for divorce quickly and moving out quickly now makes more sense to me. Yeah, you cannot believe it, you know, when you've been in a close relationship with a narcissist and they move out so definitely and swiftly. It is mind-blowing
And then they're into the divorce and whatever they're, you know, into. But it's been planned for a long time, coldly and calculatedly. It all worked like a well-oiled machine. She had been planning the exit for a long time, despite her telling me that it just came on. She offered no closure because she had no valid reason for leaving, and she wanted to leave me in a state of utter confusion. You have certainly done your homework here. It worked. She told everyone that Johnny didn't seek counselling, and that's why she left. What a perfect excuse. She had me so convinced that I had a deep emotional problem, or problems, when I actually didn't and don't. After 11 months of counselling and testing, I know this is not true. What kind of human does this to their spouse? She is a master at blame shifting and shaming. As icing on the cake, she even told me that no woman would ever want to be with me again because of my issues, in inverted commas. Listen, my friend, I got that too. I got that too, that I wasn't fit for a relationship. So it's again projection. The narcissist is not fit for a relationship. But this is what you're told. This is cruel beyond anything I have ever experienced. You know, it's like a little child, and of course, the narcissist is emotionally immature and stops developing at a very young age. So if you, for instance, you know, if you have a scenario with a little toddler or a 4 or 5 year old and you don't do what they want, like they tell you that they're in charge of the gang and you have to do what you're told in the gang or you won't be part of the gang, and you don't do what you're told, well, then they'll throw their toys at you and they'll march off and say, I'll never be your friend again. And this is akin to how a narcissist leaves their intimate partner. It's the emotional immaturity of that age in an adult body. But that's how their emotions work. There is no grey contemplative area. They're straight down the line of that type of immature level with a cruelty attached. Okay, yeah, because of your issues. That's why she was leaving. This is cruel beyond anything I have ever experienced. She has no shame and feels no guilt for anything or anyone. She has little to no empathy, and this was a horrible realization for me. I trusted her with my fears and insecurities, something that normal couples do in a relationship. That's called an emotional connection. That's called vulnerability. That's a strength, not a weakness. Amen, my friend. Amen. That is what an intimate relationship is about. What did she do? She weaponized my words against me. She told me I was weak and that I was a pussy and that I acted like a little girl. What kind of spouse would say this to their eternal companion? This is awful, and frankly, it's abusive. She can tell everyone that I wore her out emotionally, but my needs were normal, and she is justifying her disgraceful treatment of me. She doesn't have the capacity to establish emotional connections or truly love others deeply. And so, yes, she is worn out because she knows she can't connect. And that is exhausting and frustrating. Yeah, maybe. I again think it's projection onto you because you were the one that was worn out emotionally. She's not exhausted as such. She's frustrated because she wants more. She's greedy and she's hungry, and you've outworn your usefulness. So it's not so much that she's exhausted, in my opinion, but she's coldly and calculatingly, if that's a word, She wants rid of you. She doesn't want her mask damaged. So she's saying you have issues and you wouldn't go to counselling. And that is all a load of BS. And I don't say this to be cruel. I wish it weren't the case. I never wanted this nightmare. I would have traded all that I had all that I had to have that emotional connection with her, but she could not or would not. I gave it my all and more. Did she try to love me in her own way? Sometimes. She has so many amazing qualities, but it was surface level, and I wanted something much deeper and more meaningful, and she knew it. Well, my friend, what she was showing to you in the good times when you felt that she might love you was a manipulation, you know, as a narcissist. And what she was showing you was literally something she'd learned from other people. And it was surface level. The good qualities she was showing you were plagiarized and were acted out to manipulate you, unfortunately. She may have had talents, you know, innate talents, like she could sing really well or she could dance really well. Those are kind of talents of the body. But the other stuff is generally plagiarized or character trait acquisition, stolen from something she's seen another person do. I'm not surprised anymore because now I know what has happened. She said, "It's just a marriage and it didn't work out. Move on." Oh, narcissists are very well able to say that and very, very good at saying that. Now I know how she can walk away from sacred marriage covenants as they mean nothing because they don't. As if they mean nothing because they don't. A person doesn't abandon a person they love. They abandon a person they have finished using. And you've really done your homework here. That is spot on. And now she's off to another town, less than an hour away, where she can spin her story with new gullible people who won't question her. In time, she'll attract and select another empath. Well, I call my term now for empaths is human being, because human beings have empathy. But we leave empath and select another empath and convince him that he is the best person ever, her soulmate. Poor chump. And the cycle continues, idolizing someone, devaluing them and discarding them. What a lousy way to live. I don't know how she faces herself every day. She doesn't. Instead, she runs 100 miles an hour to avoid looking within herself. I came to realize years ago that she was running from something, and that something was herself. She has convinced herself of her own deceptions. And unfortunately, she doesn't have the willingness to recognize it. Well, narcissists create their own reality. They take reality as it is and they twist and turn till it suits them. But God knows everyone's heart and intentions, and we will all have a bright recollection of our guilt after this life. She has said numerous times that I'm a good and honorable man, even telling our ecclesiastical leader this when she dumped me. But she has said, no one should have to live in the misery that she has endured with me. You must have been putting in some boundaries towards the end for her to say something like that. The fact of the matter is that no man will ever be enough for her, and her misery is self-inflicted, and it's another convenient excuse. I wanted the very best for her and was her biggest cheerleader. I was a loving and supportive spouse and, in commas, not perfect. But she grew tired of this good man. And I love the self-reflection that we are not perfect. People that have survived and gone through narcissistic abuse are not perfect. And the fact that we're not perfect is a beautiful thing. But the fact that we can admit we're not perfect is a beautiful thing. And that self-introspection is what makes us have real relationships and real experiences. She says she wants happiness, but happiness comes from within, not dumping your husband and blaming him and running away. She is not the person at all who I thought I was marrying. I have been living an illusion for 10 years. None of this was real. And this has been beyond heartbreaking to accept the truth. She led me to believe that we would retire and travel and serve in our community together. Now I know this was all a bunch of future faking. It was, my friend, I'm afraid. Once we got close to me retiring, she knew she had to back out and dump me. It has all become so very clear now. Be careful who you trust. Salt and sugar look the same. I love that saying. That is so perfect. Salt and sugar look the same. As God is my witness, I know beyond any doubt, this is what has happened, and I will leave all of this in his capable hands. Eventually she will be held accountable for what she has done to me and others, and she will hang her head in shame before God. I was not the first to be treated this way, and I won't be the last. She has to live with herself in this life, knowing that she uses people like objects to get what she wants, and then discards them when they no longer fill a need for her. She does know that, yeah. But she won't hold that thought to the front of her consciousness. At least most commoner gardener narcissists don't hold that truth up in front of themselves, because they blame shift others in order to manipulate reality to suit themselves so that they can feel they're a good person. Others that are more sociopathic, they know. They hold it up in front of themselves, but they don't care. Okay, she can laugh, deflect and deny any or all of this right now, which she has done and will do. She thinks everyone believes her deceptions, but the mask keeps slipping the older she gets. I see behind the mask, and I will never be fooled again. I will not be disgraced or disrespected by her ever again. Life is short, and soon we will all have to answer to a higher power. I have my faults and don't discount them at all, but I didn't deserve this. No, you didn't. You didn't deserve this. This was not a normal breakup, despite what many may think. I know people, they don't understand, so we have to give them leeway and, you know, compassion and understanding for them not understanding that this is not a normal breakup. Two relatively healthy people would both be grieving the end of their marriage. Not in this case. I was left reeling, and she went about her way, business as usual. All business and zero emotion, like an executioner. She didn't give it a second thought. She divided things up with such speed and precision that it left me shaking at how this could be happening. She screamed at me multiple times that we were finished and we will never be a couple again. I can't put into words how awful this made me feel. Narcissists love, when you're suffering, to drive it home. It's like they have the knife in and they twist it and they twist it because it empowers them and it gives them pleasure, and they feel like they want to punish you for all the time that they had to spend with you, because now they see you as a totally unworthy recipient of a relationship with them. That's my payment for all the good I did over 10 years, I guess. Very hard for a normal person to understand this. Yes, it didn't matter what you did over those 10 years, not now. Regardless of whether someone believes she is a narcissist is irrelevant. What she has done to me in our marriage is disgraceful. I recognise now, through counselling, that I have deep childhood wounds that I have needed to address and heal from. I was raised by a very narcissistic mum and a very empathic dad. A lethal combination which set the stage for what I have walked into twice. I vow to never let this happen again. You know, unfortunately, when you have a very narcissistic parent and another very empathic parent and they stay together, you learn a relationship, you know, style from them. And you either come out as a narcissist or a normal person who has empathy. And then you nearly seek out, you know, to recreate the relationship of your parents if that is what you thought was the norm, without understanding that it wasn't. And you fit into, you choose one role or the other. So this person chose the empathic role of his dad and was attracted to narcissistic women like his mum, to try and work out what he couldn't work out as a child. So we recreate the same situation, the same energy, the same familiarity in our adult relationships until we can work it out. Now, we want to work it out so the person loves us, so the childhood wounds are healed. But in this case, and with a narcissist, the childhood wounds aren't healed. They're poked around in and made a hell of a lot worse. However, when you meet the brick wall narcissist, as I think this second narcissist surely was, there comes a time where it's sink or swim. It's do or die. It's survive or don't. And then you heal the wounds yourself by understanding, in reflection and by reflection, what you went through as a child. It still doesn't mean that you deserve what you went through in your adult relationship or your childhood relationship. I am devastated that this has happened, but I am at peace knowing why this has happened twice in my life. Now I have work to do to make myself whole and heal my childhood wounds so that this doesn't happen again. I wish you the very best, Paula. Thanks again for all you are doing. And you sign off. My friend, you are halfway there, if not further, on your healing journey, because you have a very clear and precise understanding. And it's great you went to counselling, and it's great that you got the information for yourself. You used your initiative, and you used your strength, and you used your honest introspection and your genuine, you know, goodness and your genuine truth seeking abilities and gifts to find out what really went down and to introspect into how you can improve going forward, to know that you didn't deserve what happened to you. And I suspect the rest of the journey for you is going to be one of wondrous joy, because you have everything clear in your mind now. And it's just a case of rewiring your brain, reaffirming what you've said in this email. And thank you so much for sharing it with our community, for taking the time to write it, having the courage to write it with such eloquence and clarity. You've given us a gift, and I hope that this resonates with somebody else out there. I'm sure it will. Someone needed to hear this today. And that's a journey. That's a journey that a lot of us go on with very, you know, it's very similar, because narcissists all or generally act in the same type of narcissistic style. That's it for now. We will see you again very soon, please God. From a sleepy Remy and myself, we bid you adieu. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Bye for now.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.